The title of my message today is Blessed is the Man. Now, we're familiar with the hymn that we sing, Blessed and Happy is the Man. It's based on Psalm 1. Let me read part of that for you. Psalm 1, verses 1, and chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. You know, frequently, when we think of the word blessed, we think of it in terms of a word that's a verb or perhaps an adjective. It's a way that we describe an action or a characteristic of somebody. But here in Psalm 1, when we look at the word blessed, it actually comes from a Hebrew noun, Esher, E-S-H-E-R, and that's Strong's H-835. It's a noun. And the noun is frequently translated as blessed or as happy. It describes a state of being, telling who or what we are. So what I'd like to do today is take a look at this word, blessed, as we see it in the Psalms, to see from God's perspective what it means when someone is blessed. So we'll be spending a lot of time in Psalms today, various verses. The first one we're going to take a look at is Psalm 33 and verse 12. One huge thing that we see right away as how we are blessed by God is that we are blessed when we have been chosen by God. Psalm 33 and verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. So that brings up the question, well, God's taking an action here, he's choosing, but who is it that he chooses? We know that not everyone in this age are people that God chooses, because there's a particular order in his plan. Initially, God picked the nation of Israel from the various peoples on the earth, and he picked them and chose them as a physical example of what he was going to do. But he didn't pick them for their great numbers. He didn't pick them because of their greatness and wisdom or whatever. He picked them, he chose them, because of his promises to Abraham. We're not going to turn there, but if you want to look at that later, you can look at that in Deuteronomy 7 and verses 6 to 8. God chose Israel because of his promises to Abraham. And he chose them as an example for us, because God's doing something even greater now than what he did with the nation of Israel. Let's go ahead and take a look back at 1 Peter. And we will look at chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. What does Peter tell us about God and who and how he's choosing in this day and age? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. Peter comes out here clearly and states, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. It's clearly God is choosing who he wants to in a particular order, according to his plan. And a key point here is that it is God who's chosen. He's the one who's chosen us. He didn't call us through some lottery system or through some random, well, I'll take every fifth person here or whatever. He has a reason for who he chooses. So we're blessed, as we saw there in Psalm 33, we're blessed because God has specifically called each and every one of us and done so according to his purpose. There's a reason. There's a plan. And we see that in Paul's second letter to Timothy in chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9. Paul makes it clear to Timothy that there's a reason that we have been chosen. What does he tell Timothy here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9? Paul states, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." Similar to what happened to ancient Israel, it wasn't because of what we'd done or who we are that we were being chosen. But God had a reason. Back then, he chose them because of his promises to Abraham, which still applies to us today. But he's not choosing us because of our works, as Paul states here. God has a purpose. He has a plan for each of us, and we have a part in that plan. And Jesus reminded that it isn't us who are doing the choosing. When you turn to John 15, the night before he was crucified, John 15, verses 16 through 17, look what Jesus told his disciples. John 15, starting in verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." Jesus made it clear, we're not the ones who chose God. He has chosen us for a purpose. And as he says here, "I have appointed you." So what are some of the ways that we are blessed when God has chosen us? Let's take a look at a couple of those. Go back to Psalm, this time Psalm 65 and verse 4. Because we see another way in which we are blessed according to the Psalms. Psalm 65, verse 4. "Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple." When God chooses us, he makes it possible for us to approach him, to draw near to him. That's not true of everybody in the world at this time. When we're chosen by God, he opens our eyes, allows us to begin to understand his ways, to learn from his word what is there, the truth that is there. He grants us repentance. He forgives our sins. When he chooses us, he shows us how we can approach him. Because we can't do that on our own. We have to have God showing us how to approach him. So as the Psalms show us, when we're chosen by God, he forgives our sins so that we may have eternal life. And we're called to dwell in the house of God. So let's look at those two a little more closely based on what we see here in Psalms. Now think about this, and this is one of the things that we've come to learn. When we sinned, our sins separated us from God and it has put us under the curse of death. We have no way, no opportunity for eternal life by our own efforts, by our own power, and by our own strength. Can't happen. Only God can allow that to happen and bring that about. But by God's grace, we are blessed. And that curse is removed. Let's take a look at Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, clearly comes out to show us that this is another way in which we are blessed because of what God has done when he has chosen us. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. What a huge blessing that is, right? When God forgives our sins, when he covers through the blood of Jesus Christ, covers that sin, and does not charge that iniquity against us anymore, we now have a way of getting out of this curse of death because of God, because he blesses us as he has chosen us. God cares for us so much that he sacrificed Jesus Christ for us. And with that sacrifice, he's forgiven our sins. And only through that sacrifice gives us the opportunity for eternal life. Do we think, do we reflect very often about how much of a blessing that really is, how we are blessed because God has forgiven our sins? The other thing we looked at here as God has chosen us is that we're blessed to dwell in the house of God. And to take a look at that, let's turn to Psalm 84. And we'll start verses 1 and 2. Psalm 84, verses 1 and 2. We're blessed to dwell in the house of God. And we see that here in Psalm 84. Verses 1 and 2. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And then going down to verse 4 of Psalm 84, what does it tell us here? Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you, Selah. It's a blessing. We are blessed to be chosen by God that we can dwell in his house. But where is that house? In times past, in the wilderness, there was the tabernacle up to a certain point when Israel came to Canaan. And then the temple was built. That was the house of God. But where is that house of God today that we are blessed to be in that house of God? For that, let's take a look again at Paul's epistles to Timothy, this time 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 14 and 15. Look what Paul has written to Timothy here. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I'm delayed, I write so that you know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Do you see that? This isn't the only place that Paul has alluded to this, that we, as those chosen to be the church of God, we are the house of God today. He also wrote to Corinthians a very similar thing. Do you not know that you are the house of God? It's an amazing thing when you stop and think about it, that instead of this big physical structure, this is now a spiritual house. And because of God's Spirit, we are the house of God. And This is something that Jesus reminded when he was here on teaching. Let's take a look at John 14. John 14, verse 23. What did Jesus state here? He says, when we keep true to the word of God, what's going to happen? If we follow the word of God and we obey him and live by his ways, what does Jesus say is going to happen? He said that he and the Father will make their home with us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We will come to him as the house of God and make our home because of the Spirit dwelling within us. When we keep his word, when we obey his commands, when God has chosen us, this amazing thing happens that we can now become the house of God, and we are blessed because of that. So as we've seen various facets here, one of the ways in which we were blessed, according to the Psalms, is when God has chosen us, when he has specifically picked us for his purpose, as part of his plan, because he has plans for us. And we are blessed because of that. But it doesn't stop with that. There's another way in which we are blessed because God has chosen us and what that leads to. And that is that we are blessed when we are taught by God. That's a critical thing here, to be taught by God, to understand his word, and to be able to look in there and to see what all he has revealed to us. You know, as you flip through the pages, you realize that there is a lot to know about the Bible. There's a lot in there. And a lot of people through the ages have learned the contents of the Bible quite well. You can see that in commentaries and dissertations, whatever. They understand, they know the content. But to truly understand, to understand what is in the pages of the Bible, requires that God opens our minds. It requires that we are taught by him. And one of the things that we've learned is that Satan has blinded this world to the truth of what's in God's word. Let me take a look at that. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4. Paul reminds us here in 2 Corinthians 4 that Satan has blinded the world. He writes, starting in verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. We also know in Revelation that Satan has deceived the whole world. And the world doesn't know it. They've been blinded to this. They don't understand that there's this veil between them and understanding God's ways. So we want to make sure that we remember that whatever we understand about the Word of God, and that's not just knowledge, that's understanding. Whatever we understand about the Word of God comes to us from God, or from those he has appointed to teach us. It doesn't come to us because of our own wisdom or our skill in dissecting sentences and word studies and stuff like that. The understanding comes to us because of God's guidance and the work of his Holy Spirit helping us to understand. Take a look at Psalm 94. Psalm 94 and verse 12, another way in which we know we are blessed. Psalm 94, verse 12. Blessed is the man you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law. Consider how much of a blessing that is, how blessed we are that God has taught us from his word. He's helped us to understand, to see the truth that is there. And we don't want to forget that we are indeed blessed because he has opened up our minds to that. Because think about the alternative. If we were not being taught by God, where would we be? We would still be living under the veil of Satan's lies and deception. And we wouldn't even know it, because he does deceive the whole world. But now, because we're blessed, because we were taught by God, we have the opportunity for living life more fully, both here and eternal, and doing it according to God's ways. Let's go back and take a look at Deuteronomy in chapter 4. And verses 5 and 6. We see here something that Moses was telling the Israelites right before they were to enter the promised land. Consider what he told them. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. And why would they be considered a great nation? Because through Moses, God taught them his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments. And what is it that would be said about them? That they were wise and understanding people. Because again, they were taught by God. Sadly, the Israelites didn't heed that admonishment, did they? They went on and turned away from God, sinned against him. And instead of being considered as a wise and understanding people, they turned around and said, oh, we want to be like the nations around us. They didn't listen to what Moses was telling them. But it is recorded here for our sake, that we might learn, that we might understand the necessity, absolute necessity, to be taught by God and not to lean on our own understanding. Take a look here over in Proverbs, chapter 8, and we'll look at verses 32 through 35. Proverbs 8, verses 32 through 35. We see that by listening to God, by heeding his instructions, we indeed are blessed. Proverbs 8, starting in verse 32. Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. We indeed are blessed because we've been taught by God, and when we heed him and listen to his word and live by his ways. And that's not a one-time process, is it? Either, he's shown me certain things from the Bible, that's all I need to know. No, it's an ongoing thing. Because we're blessed being taught by God, and we're blessed as we continue to be taught by God, as we learn more, as we go deeper, to understand it better. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verses 33 through 35. There's this desire, because once God begins to open up our minds, if we're truly understanding how blessed we are and the greatness of the teaching that he's given us, we want to learn more. We want to live it. We want to learn it even more deeply. Psalm 119, verses 33 through 35. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. This ongoing desire to learn God's ways, to dive deeper into it, to make it become more a part of us each and every day. When we begin to understand God's word, we desire to understand more. And as we understand more, we become even more blessed. The Psalms show how we are blessed from God's instructions. Another way in which we are blessed as God teaches us is that we are blessed because how we live our lives changes. When we sin against God, again, we're separated from God. And that causes us to go on a path that is in a direction away from him. But when God grants us repentance, when he teaches us his ways, we change that direction at his calling. And we start to draw nearer to him. While we're here in Psalm 119, let's look at verses 1 through 3. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 3. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Now, you and I know that trying to keep God's ways in this increasingly evil society is not an easy thing to do, is it? In fact, if we try to do it on our own efforts, we are going to fail. But as we travel on this journey through God's calling, learning his ways, trying to live by them, we can take heart knowing that we are blessed in yet another way. Because we don't have to face this walk alone or by our own strength. Psalm 84 reminds us of that. Psalm 84, verse 5. We're not on our own. God didn't say, okay, I've chosen you, you're on your own, do it right. No, Psalm 84, verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on the pilgrimage. God promises to be there, to be our strength as we strive to live his ways, to learn more, to make it more of our ways, to follow him with our whole hearts. We're strengthened, we're encouraged, knowing who God is. Think about this. He's the ruler and the creator of all that exists. He's the one who holds our lives in his hands. And he's the one who's chosen us and taught us. Psalm 112 and verse 1. Psalm 112 and verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. That fear, that delight in his commandments comes because God has taught us. He's opened up our minds and shown us his way and shown us how we are to live, how we are to draw nearer to him. And as we live those ways, in spite of the trials that we face, we experience another way in which we are blessed. Because living God's ways, learning to rely on him, we are blessed when we learn to trust God. We're blessed through God's instructions because we gain peace and security. Don't need to turn to this one, but Psalm 5, verse 12, I'll read that for you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as a shield. There's a certain peace and security, a certain trust that we gain in God, because as we see, we turn over to Psalm 34 and verse 8. Psalm 34 and verse 8, I believe Peter quotes this later on. Psalm 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. We learn that God's ways are right. In fact, they're the only way to live correctly. So we come to trust God because of his commands and the understanding that he's given to us about his commands, about his way. But one of our biggest challenges is learning to trust God completely. I mean, think about Abraham. Abraham walked with God. He was called the friend of God. But it took time, didn't it? It took God's instruction. It took living by God's ways to get to that point. But the more we trust God, the more we realize not to rely on the wisdom of this world and all its false promises, but to trust in God. And we see that over in Psalm 40 and verse 4. Living God's ways leads to trusting God even more. Psalm 40, verse 4. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turns aside to lies. We're blessed when we trust the Lord, not when we trust those around us. Because think about it, when we look around at our society, it'd be easy, wouldn't it, to think that the wicked are the ones who are prospering. But that view is short-sighted. And we know the promises that God has made to us when we trust him and live by his ways. We are blessed when we trust him and live by his ways. And there are benefits of keeping God's ways and learning to trust him. Psalm 119. Verses 165 through 168. This is an amazing promise that God gives us. Psalm 119, starting in verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. To sum up trusting God, let me read to you Psalm 84 and verse 12. Psalm 84 and verse 12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. We see over and over again, learning God's ways, living by them. We are blessed when we trust in God and we're striving to trust in him more fully. Psalm 1 speaks of not taking the ways of sinners, but instead choosing the way of God. And it's a common theme throughout the Psalms and the rest of the Bible, too, for that matter. Matter of fact, let's take a look at Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. Jeremiah echoes here what we saw in Psalm 1. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. We are blessed when we follow God's ways. We examine the word blessed as it appears in the Psalms. And it's interesting to note that the root word for blessed is the Hebrew word asher, which is very similar, Strong's H833. And it's interesting to look at the meaning of that root word for blessed. It means to go straight, to walk, to advance, to make progress. We who are being called now, we who have been chosen specifically by God, are exceedingly blessed because God has forgiven our sins and given us an opportunity for eternal life. God has called us. He instructs us. And in doing so, He has set us on the straight path that we may walk in His ways, that we can advance and learn more in understanding those ways. And when we do so, we make progress as we strive for His kingdom as His spiritual children. Blessed is the man.